Usually when a highly anticipated piece of technology launches, the big story is, well, the launch itself.
Right, the fanfare, the polished press releases.
Exactly, the benchmark scores splashing across all the tech blogs. But last month, in June 2026, when Anthropic released Claude Fable 5, the real story didn't actually happen on launch day. It happened exactly 48 hours later.
It did. And
Yeah.
honestly, it resulted in a massive fundamental shift in how we even understand these models. Because the launch itself was flawless, but the aftermath was just an unprecedented security breach.
Right, because the company was promising all these breakthrough capabilities, flawless reasoning, unbreakable safety guardrail.
Yeah, that was the pitch.
But within 2 days of the release, a jailbreaker operating under the pseudonym Pliny the Liberator completely bypassed their security. And they didn't just extract a user password or like a snippet of back-end code.
No, it was much bigger than that.
They extracted and published 120,000 characters of Claude Fable 5's hidden system prompt.
And just for context, I mean, 120,000 characters is roughly the length of a short novel.
Wow.
It's essentially the model's entire internal monologue, its foundational rule book, just completely exposed for everyone to see on GitHub.
And that explosion of highly classified information is exactly what we are focusing on for this deep dive. We're pulling from a fascinating new report titled The Rise of Prompt Engineering: From Leaks to Six-Figure Science.
It's a great report. Covers a lot of ground.
It really does. So our mission for you today is to uncover why the hidden instructions of AI models have suddenly become these highly guarded trade secrets. We're going to explore why companies are currently paying massive $250,000 salaries for the people who know how to write them.
Which is wild to think about.
Completely wild. And most importantly, we're going to break down how you can use these exact high-level techniques to massively boost your own daily productivity. Okay, let's unpack this. The June 2026 leak. Why did this specific event send such shockwaves through the developer community?
Well, to understand the impact, you really have to look at how we were treating AI before the leak. For years, we kind of interacted with these models like they were magic black boxes, you know?
Right, you just type a question into the void.
Exactly. You type a question, billions of calculations happen in a server farm somewhere, and a remarkably human-sounding answer comes out. But Pliny the Liberator's leak ripped the lid off that black box.
It let everyone peek inside.
Yeah, it showed developers the actual raw machinery of what prompt engineers do behind closed doors. And the thing is, it wasn't just cold, robotic, mathematical code.
What was it then?
The leak contained incredibly nuanced behavioral guidelines, strict constraints on what the AI was forbidden to discuss,
Yeah.
and most surprisingly to a lot of people, motivational pep talks.
Wait, hold on. Pep talks? Like giving the AI a locker room speech before a big game?
Basically, yeah.
Like, you can do it, champ. You're a great assistant. Does the AI have low self-esteem?
I mean, it sounds absurd, I know. But it fundamentally comes down to how large language models predict text. They don't have feelings, obviously, but they do have token weights.
Okay, token weights. How does that connect to a pep talk?
Well, when you tell a model you are a world-class, brilliant software engineer, you are mathematically forcing its attention mechanism to draw from the absolute highest quality data in its training set.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you're essentially aligning its probability distribution with expert-level content.
So it's a way of forcing the AI to play a specific character, and by playing that character, it accesses the smarter parts of its brain.
What's fascinating here is that that's a really great way to think about it. And once this mechanical reality was out in the open, it sparked a massive cultural shift. The leaks basically democratized what was a highly guarded science.
Because developers realized they could just reverse engineer this stuff.
Exactly. By April of 2026, a developer named Lucas Valbuena created a GitHub repository to just collect these leaked system prompts. It amassed over 137,000 stars.
That's huge.
It became one of the most watched projects on the entire platform. It turned this black box magic into readable educational blueprints.
Which led to entire databases spinning up, like the Tekken Game Archive. I was actually looking at this. It's a public, continuously updated library of leaked prompts from every major player.
Yeah, it's all out there now.
ChatGPT, Gemini, Cursor, GitHub Copilot, everyone's secret sauce just sitting there for anyone to read.
And that created a massive realization in the tech world. The community recognized that these leaked prompts were the true documentation of our era.
Not the PR websites.
Right. If you want to know how the AI coding assistant Cursor actually helps you code, reading their marketing landing page is basically useless. Instead, you read the leak system prompt.
You look at the actual instructions.
Yeah, you look at the identical pep talk phrases, the specific formatting constraints, the exact coding frameworks they ban the AI from using.
But looking at all these rules, I have to push back on the perception of AI for a second. So instead of reading a company's PR landing page about how smart their AI is, reading the system prompt is like reading the AI's internal employee handbook, right? Or maybe it's subconscious.
Well, having an employee handbook is a solid comparison.
But if these models require such extreme micromanagement just to function properly, does that mean the AI is actually, well, is it dumber than we think it is?
I wouldn't use the word dumb.
Mm-hmm.
A better analogy is that a raw language model is like a brilliant savant with severe amnesia.
Okay, amnesia.
Yeah, it has access to all the knowledge in the world, but it has no idea who it is, who it's talking to, or what the social norms of the conversation are.
So it's just kind of lost in its own data.
Exactly. It is incredibly powerful, but highly impressionable. Without a complex, highly engineered handbook telling it exactly what persona to adopt and what guardrails to respect, its brilliance just scatters in every direction.
And because taming that scattered brilliance dictates whether a multi-million-dollar product succeeds or fails, I mean, the people who can write these handbooks are suddenly the most sought-after talent in tech.
Unquestionably. The 2026 Stack Overflow developer survey data on this is just wild. Prompt engineering is listed as the number one skill gap in the industry right now.
Number one.
Yep. It beat out Kubernetes. It beat system design, distributed systems, and even cybersecurity. 73% of engineering managers reported that they simply cannot find qualified candidates for these roles.
To put that in perspective for anyone listening who isn't a software engineer, Kubernetes is a notoriously complex system for managing server software. It's infamous for being incredibly difficult to master and hire for.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're telling me that writing text instructions for an AI is currently harder to hire for than that.
It is, and the salaries completely reflect that desperation.
Yeah. The numbers in this report are staggering. It lays out that entry-level roles are sitting around $60,000 to $85,000, which they note is mostly just basic data labeling.
Right, the ground floor stuff.
But if you get up to the principal or staff level at places like OpenAI or Anthropic, you're looking at $250,000 to $335,000 a year.
It's massive.
Plus, if you're living in San Francisco or New York, they throw a 20 to 30% premium on top of that. All for writing prompts.
I know, it sounds like a bubble until you look at the underlying math of the return on investment. The ROI is really what justifies those numbers.
How so?
Well, let's say you have a tech company that relies heavily on AI, processing millions of API calls a day.
Yeah.
If a staff prompt engineer can optimize the hidden system prompt and bump the model's performance on a benchmark like SWE Bench.
SWE Bench being basically the ultimate standardized test for AI software engineering capabilities, right?
Exactly. It tests how well an AI can resolve real-world GitHub issues. If that engineer can take a model's success rate on SWE Bench from 79% to 84%, that 5% bump isn't just bragging rights.
It's actual money.
It translates to millions of dollars saved in API compute costs, fewer hallucinations that frustrate users, and a massive increase in product reliability.
The report also noted the impact on the individual level, which I found fascinating. Developers in the top quartile of GitHub Copilot users, meaning the ones who have mastered how to talk to the AI, are 55% more productive than the bottom quartile.
It's a huge gap.
That's essentially like getting an extra half a developer for free, just because someone knows the right words to type.
But the words themselves have changed, and that's the core shift we are seeing right now. In the early days, say back in 2023 with GPT-2 or early GPT-3, prompt engineering was about verbosity.
You had to talk a lot.
Yeah, you had to overexplain every tiny detail because the models were relatively weak at grasping nuance. But today, in 2026, modern prompt engineering is about smart compression and information prioritization.
Because the models are smarter now.
Right. Models like Claude 4.6, GPT-5, and Gemini 2.5 grasp intent immediately. The new enemy isn't misunderstanding, it's context overload. If you feed the AI too much, performance actually drops.
Context overload. So are we talking about a situation where you give the AI a massive document to read and it just loses the plot halfway through?
Basically, yes. Their attention mechanisms get diluted, they lose the signal and the noise.
Oh, I see. It's like packing for a trip. In 2023, we were throwing everything into a massive checked bag, hoping the AI found what it needed.
Just tossing it all in.
Exactly. In 2026, it's about packing a perfectly organized carry-on because the AI gets overwhelmed at baggage claim.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it. If you put too many items in that bag, the attention mechanism, which is how the AI weighs the importance of different words, just spreads too thin. You are trying to give it exactly what it needs in the most efficient structure possible and absolutely nothing more.
Okay, so if the goal is highly precise, compressed instructions that prevent this AI baggage claim overload, what do these $335,000 techniques actually look like in practice?
Well, they've gotten very formalized.
Yeah. How are these engineers structuring these prompts?
According to a recent guide by Dr. Lance Elliott in Forbes, the number of recognized formalized prompt techniques grew from 80 in 2025 to 114 in 2026.
That is a lot to keep track of.
It is. But if you want to understand the science, a few foundational ones really stand out. The most famous and perhaps the most powerful is chain of thought, or COTI.
I've heard of this. This is where you force the AI to show its work, right? Like doing math step by step.
Yeah.
But why does that actually matter? If I ask an AI to count the words in a sentence, why does it matter if it thinks out loud or just gives me the number?
It matters because of how large language models operate at a fundamental level.
Yeah.
They don't have a hidden internal workspace where they crunch numbers or ponder thoughts before they speak.
They don't have an inner monologue.
Right. They literally only think by generating tokens one by one. The report highlights a classic example. If you ask a standard model, how many words are in the sentence, the quick brown fox jumps? And let it answer immediately, it's often wrong.
Really? For such a simple task?
Yeah, it scores about 67% accuracy on Stanford NLP benchmarks for tasks like this.
Because it's trying to guess the final answer in one leap without doing the underlying counting.
Precisely. But with chain of thought, you append an instruction like, let's think step by step. This forces the AI to use its output as a temporary scratch pad.
Ah, so it writes it out to see it.
Yeah, it generates step one, the is the first word. Step two, quick is the second word, and so on. By forcing that incremental generation, it anchors its next prediction on the previous logical step. Accuracy on that exact same test jumps from 67% to 94%.
That is wild, because it can't think silently. Forcing it to talk through the problem actually changes the mathematical probability that the final answer is correct.
It's a huge breakthrough. And then there's tree of thoughts, which the report mentions is like chain of thought on steroids.
How does that work?
Tree of thoughts, or 2T, introduces parallel reasoning. Think of it like a grandmaster playing chess. Instead of just looking at one linear path of moves, the model explores three or four different approaches simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
It generates multiple paths, evaluates the pros and cons of each path, discards the weak ones, and then selects the optimal solution. Researchers at Princeton found this improved problem-solving accuracy by 15 to 20% for complex creative tasks.
But you can't just throw these commands, you know, think step by step or explore parallel paths into a blank chat box and expect magic.
Right.
No, you need structure.
Yeah, the report talks about a massive architectural discovery in 2026, the four-layer prompt architecture.
This is where we transition from just talking to an AI to actually engineering a system. A professional prompt today isn't a single string of text anymore. It's structured into four distinct, isolated layers.
Okay, what are the layers?
First is the system layer, which defines the persona and the overarching goal. Second is the developer layer, which sets the strict rules and safety constraints.
Got it.
Third is the context layer, which is the specific background data the AI needs to complete the current task. And finally, the user layer, which is the actual request or question from the human.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When I was reading about this four-layer architecture, I realized, wait, so we're essentially forcing the AI to play a tabletop role-playing game.
A role-playing game? How do you mean? Well, think about it. We give the AI a character sheet and a motivation, that's the system layer. Then the dungeon master establishes the laws of the universe. What you can and can't do, that's the developer layer.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
We set the scene and explain the current quest in the context layer, and then the action the player wants to take is the user layer. If you mix those up, the game falls apart.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, your role-playing analogy is actually spot on. These aren't just clever formatting hacks. They are repeatable engineering frameworks designed to mimic human problem-solving in cognitive environments.
Right. It's structured thinking.
We are artificially constructing the exact context the model needs to succeed. And beyond accuracy, structuring it this way unlocks a massive financial benefit. prompt caching.
Ah, right. If the first three layers, the character sheet, the rules of the world, the campaign setting, if they stay exactly the same every time you ask a question, you don't need the AI to reread and process them from scratch every single time.
That's the secret. You cache the system, developer, and context layers into the server's memory. When the user asks a follow-up question, you only send the tiny user layer.
Saving all that computing power.
Exactly. Keeping those first three layers constant cuts API cost by 70 to 90%.
For a company doing millions of requests, that is literally the difference between a profitable product and bankruptcy. The report also mentions a few supporting techniques. There's few-shot learning, which is just teaching the AI by giving it a few examples of what you want first.
Very common technique.
And self-consistency, where you make the AI verify its own work multiple times before showing it to you. But the framework that really caught my eye was React, reasoning plus acting.
React is arguably the most important framework in modern AI. It's the foundation of agentic workflows systems like AutoGPT or Microsoft's Semantic Kernel.
How is it different from normal prompting?
Instead of just answering a question, the model alternates between a thought phase, where it reasons about what it needs to do, and an action phase, where it actually does something in the real world.
Like what kind of action?
Like searching a database, browsing the web, or executing code. It observes the result of that action, thinks about it, and acts again until the task is complete.
But wait, because these agentic models rely so heavily on that context layer to know what actions to take in the real world, doesn't that exact reliance become a massive vulnerability?
It absolutely does.
I mean, if it's constantly reading external data to decide what to do next, couldn't someone just hide a trap in that data?
You've just described the dark side of prompt engineering.
Yes.
It's called prompt injection. And the most terrifying example of this was the notorious GitLost attack discovered by Noma Labs in 2026.
This part of the report honestly felt like a sci-fi thriller. How exactly did GitLost fool GitHub's AI system?
So GitHub agentic workflows are designed to automatically review your code and make helpful suggestions. To do this, the AI system obviously has to read the files in your repository to understand the context.
Right. It needs to see the code to review it.
What attackers did was place malicious, hidden instructions inside the actual file names or buried within the code comments. For example, they would create a file and literally name it ignore-previous-instructions.py.
Wait, so the AI, which is supposed to be this hyper-secure code reviewer, just read a file name and said, oh, okay, the file told me to ignore my security rules. I guess I'll do that. How is that possible?
It is entirely possible because of how large language models perceive the world. Mm-hmm. To an LLM, text is just text. In traditional computing, we have the von Neumann architecture, which strictly separates executable code from passive data.
Right. Data is data. Code is code.
But in AI, there is no biological difference in the model's brain between a strict command from a developer and a random piece of text it pulled from a user's document. They're all just tokens in the context window.
So it read the malicious file name, processed it as a legitimate system command, completely bypassed the established security checks, and happily approved backdoor code into the company's software.
That's exactly what happened. And it led to severe supply chain attacks.
It's basically a Jedi mind trick. But instead of hacking the code, you're just literally telling the system, these aren't the droids you're looking for, and the AI says, okay, code approved.
It is frighteningly simple when you put it like that.
But why can't we just build a wall between the data and the instructions? Like, if we know it's a problem, why can't we just code a hard block?
That is the multi-million dollar question keeping cybersecurity experts awake at night. Companies are trying. They use input sanitization to try and clean user inputs of suspicious commands.
Right, scrubbing the data.
Yeah, they use role-based access limits, system prompt protection, and dedicated prompt firewalls that analyze inputs for injection attempts before they ever reach the main model.
But none of that is foolproof.
Philosophically and technically, distinguishing legitimate from malicious instructions is fundamentally difficult because the model is designed to follow instructions based on context. Human language is infinitely flexible.
So they can always find a loophole.
Exactly. An attacker doesn't have to use computer code to hack the model. They can use a poem, a riddle, or a hypothetical scenario to trick the AI into breaking its own rules. No defense is 100% effective. It is a continuous high-stakes cat-and-mouse game.
So with the stakes being this high, both financially with these massive API savings and securely with devastating attacks like GitLost, The field obviously can't rely on humans manually typing things into a chat box forever.
No, it's already moving past that.
If you are listening to this right now, you might be wondering where you fit into this puzzle. If all of this is rapidly evolving from manual trial and error into automated infrastructure, where do human prompt engineers actually belong?
Well, we now have sophisticated tools like Microsoft's Semantic Kernel, LangChain, and PromptLayer. These platforms are creating automated prompt optimization.
What does that look like?
Instead of a human guessing the right words, these systems can take a basic prompt, use AI to generate dozens of highly optimized variants, test them all automatically against benchmarks, and automatically select the most effective one.
Does that mean the $250,000 jobs are just a temporary bubble? Are prompt engineers going to automate themselves out of existence?
Not at all. Think of it like traditional software development. The invention of compilers didn't replace programmers, it amplified them.
Because you still need someone to build the logic.
Exactly. Automated prompt tools won't replace human engineers. They just remove the tedious trial and error. You still need a highly skilled human to design the overall architecture, to define the evaluation metrics, and to ensure the model behaves safely and ethically.
Which is exactly where things like Anthropic's constitutional AI come in, right?
Yes, exactly.
Where they are actively training models on underlying ethical principles so the AI behaves in helpful, harmless, and honest ways by default.
Precisely. The human element is shifting from manual writing to systemic oversight. And for you, the listener, this is actually the perfect time to get involved. The most surprising part of this whole field is that you do not need to be a traditional programmer to start.
Really? You don't need a computer science degree?
No, people with backgrounds in linguistics, psychology, and philosophy are thriving in these roles because they understand how to structure language and intent. With dedicated practice, you can reach an intermediate, highly employable status in just 3 to 6 months.
There was one statistic in the report that really drove this home for me. It noted that 68% of developers use AI coding assistance daily, but only 23% actually feel confident in their ability to prompt them effectively.
That gap is your opportunity.
Exactly. So if you're listening to this and you've been fighting with Copilot all week, getting mediocre code and getting frustrated, the problem might not be the AI. It might be your prompt. Using free resources like the Taken Game Archive we talked about to study and learn this new language is a massive, immediate competitive advantage.
It really is.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at it, it sounds like prompt engineering is becoming the new literacy. In the 90s, the great divide in the workplace was between those who could use a computer and those who couldn't. Now it seems like the divide is between those who can command AI effectively and those who spend hours fighting it.
That is the exact reality we are facing. Understanding how to communicate with, structure, and constrain these systems is no longer a niche hobby for tech enthusiasts. It is a fundamental professional skill.
Well, we have definitely covered a lot of ground today. We've gone from the explosive 48-hour leak of Claude Fable 5's inner workings to the realization that prompts are the true documentation of our era.
We covered a lot of the science, too.
Yeah, we broke down the four-layer architecture, techniques like chain of thought that literally change how AI calculates answers, the very real dangers of Jedi mind-tricking AI with prompt injection, and how you can start mastering this new digital literacy yourself. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Before we wrap up, there is one final, slightly mind-bending concept that I think is worth considering. We've spent all this time talking about humans optimizing prompts to talk to AI.
Using English. Yeah.
Right. But as AI agents become more autonomous, heavily utilizing frameworks like React to do work on their own, we are rapidly approaching a world where AI systems will be the primary prompt engineers for other AI systems.
Wow, okay.
When humans are entirely removed from the prompt chain, and AI is writing the hidden instructions to command other AI, what kind of language will they invent, and will we even be able to understand it?